bastard. Arms out to your mum's house.
Arms out to your mum's house. Just go beep 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 when it's ready.
So when I asked earlier if we could do 9 p.m, that would have actually been perfect.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, you are now tuned in to Arms House, to your mom's house, episode 20.
Big up, my main man.
I mean, you guys are faffing about, man.
We're trying to talk beforehand.
He's chatting.
Save it. We've got things going on.
Yeah.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
I mean, surely people, when you listen to this, you know, you might you enjoy the little pre-banter. You know what I'm saying? We were having banter, and I was like, come on, save it for the pod, man. What the fuck are we trying to do here, yo?
Talal, and I love you. I love that you're back on board. Isn't Talal the boss of the podcast, by the way?
Talal,
yes.
So you're like the CEO manager.
The boss is back.
What's that turkey sound? Is that Talal turkey sound?
Is that a gobble gobble for Talal Talal?
I knew Talal was coming on today, so I got some buttons ready for us today.
What, are you kidding me? Let's hear that again.
Because I remember seeing you say
turkey camel. Yeah, when I first heard it. Yeah.
And also, let me just say as well, people, man, come on. There's too many people watching this and getting involved and not subscribing to the channel, man. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, leave a comment, let us know your thoughts, man. All
you're
right,
doing all right there, though, right? You've got nearly 1,000 subscribers, or is that
no, not even we couldn't haven't even hit 200 yet. What are you talking about?
Come on, guys, get on it.
So, and also, Talal, you another way I want to encourage people. Talal, you complimented my t-shirt that I'm wearing.
So
right
lovely.
Now. The people on the YouTube, the people on the YouTube will see I'm wearing an Arms House to your mum's house t-shirt. Obviously, I got one for you, Talal. I got one for you theme, but I've also
got it, have I?
Yeah, okay. I'll drop it to you soon. But I've got another one I'm gonna give to a random person who leaves a comment on the YouTube vid. Okay.
Dissing themes pastiness.
The doesn't
best
matter what
diss,
you say.
The themes pastiness gets it. No, it has to be the best diss.
Yeah. So anyone leaves a comment under this here video on YouTube, I'm gonna pick one at random and we'll send you a t-shirt.
They should also be subscribed as well. You can check your list of subscribers and make sure that the commenter has subscribed.
Exactly. But the comment is the important bit.
They listen to it on Spotify and Apple, though.
How's it going? See, how's the listenership looking? Because I know you look on the Audio Boom website and it shows you how many listeners you get, not including the YouTube.
No, this is boring. That's boring, Tal. That's boring. I want to say how...
Oh, I wanted to know.
Well, it's not... I mean, it's okay. Nothing great.
Are you in the hundreds?
We can do a lot better.
Yeah.
Kinda. Not really. A little bit. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't matter. What we do need is you guys listening to share it with a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend. You know what I mean?
We put something on Instagram and it goes fucking mental. We get like 15,000 views on that fucking 10-foot thing. Maddie's got like 5,000 or 6,000 views, isn't it, on your tag in the shower thing.
Oh, yeah.
People go really in on the comments and shit when we release like a little
it's the nature
clippy
of
video. Yeah, that's the nature of the ground.
Actually, talking about that, I want to big up Doc Brown once again for joining us last week, man. Killer episode. Don, but Talal, I don't know if you've seen, man. He ruffled a few feathers with his take on the Beyond the Streets.
Yeah, I saw that.
Being at the Saatchi Gallery.
I'm going to back him a bit. I'm going to say Maddie kind of clipped, edited it to make him look like a bit more like a chief.
He was being harsh.
That's good editing, though.
He was being harsh, but he was being harsh, I think, for a certain degree for comedic effect. You know what I'm saying? He was being a bit over the top or whatnot. But also, I'm sorry, but when anything like this happens, which we do mention on the podcast, it's not in that clip, but we've definitely mentioned on the podcast, this debate about can you really put graffiti in an exhibition, is it still graffiti? You know what I mean? That whole transition, it's been going on, that debate has been going on since the beginning of time. Now, definitely Doc Brown, by, you know, judging by what he said, he definitely wasn't fully up on all the ins and outs of that Beyond the Stream.
Yeah. One of the comments was like, you were saying how they put a sheet up because they don't want a graph on the wall of the Sartre. Like, you idiot. That's the original sheet from some, like, yeah. what was it? From the background of the Clash.
From the Clash.
Live tour. That's the original sheet that they took on tour with them that they used at the back of the stage. And I'm like, oh, that's a pretty cool thing to put up.
No, exactly. Exactly. And you know,
it was salacious content. And it was very, very funny that he was.
Yeah.
The other day, Doc Brown was talking about his perspective. He wasn't clued in that the sheet was from the Clash gig. Maybe that should have been more obvious, not just like a tiny little plaque next to a 40-foot by 40-foot sheet. Have a little square plaque next to it. Like, it wasn't clear to him that also, that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he was talking about it from his perspective, and he went in going, oh, what's all this hoity-toity shit? And the first thing he gets was a flyer defining graffiti. Like, he's going to walk in there with his own point of view. And it was funny as hell. Mm. And so what if he was wrong about it?
Yeah.
And also, these three men talking on a podcast, like,
no.
they're not often the best source of information, really, in this world.
Yeah.
have... three blokes chatting on a podcast. They're just going to give their opinion and move on.
It's obvious that the Sartre Gallery isn't, you know, it's not aiming the exhibition towards graffiti writers. You know what I mean? It's aiming it to the general public, people who don't have a first idea about what graffiti is.
Yeah,
people you know what I'm saying? When you talk about graffiti to them, they think, oh, Banksy. That's the only thing they fucking know. You know what I'm saying? So I get it's got to be palatable to those people. And ultimately, it's going to be watered down. It's going to be diluted. Yeah. It's going to be all those things. And again, another thing I want to raise up, yeah? The reason why me and Theme didn't push back on what Doc Brown said is because we haven't fucking been there yet. We haven't seen it. So it's hard for us to...
It's because Theme's white. And Theme doesn't stand up for white people. I can't believe Theme isn't standing up for the white... Listen, man.
Yeah.
I am the pastiest...
Did someone English, say
most
that?
Celtic... Yeah. The most Celtic English motherfucker on earth, yeah? And I hate white people culture. I hate English... Well, I hate English culture. You know what I mean? I hate there is no culture.
Yeah,
it's bullshit. Culture? It's fucking bullshit. When you come from other countries and you talk about English culture or English cuisine or English, man, it's fucking dogmas. Yeah. And we're so like fucking independent and we're so much above everybody else anyway that we always tell everyone else to fuck off anyway. As soon as someone tells them, oh, Theme wasn't standing up because when he was dissing the white geese, fucking Doc Brown is mixed race. He can diss who the fuck he wants. You know what I mean?
Before you get on him on the comments, Theme's not an idiot. He knows there is a thing as white culture. He's using his language expressively. Obviously, white culture, English culture exists. We know that.
My mum is from outside Newcastle. You know what I mean? My dad is from like fucking Wales or some shit. His parents are like from Sheffield and Wales and shit. My granddad's from fucking Scotland. I mean, I am the fucking Union Jack, bruv. And I fucking, well, I was telling Maddie, when I go to Heathrow or Gatwick, I disengage. I speak different languages to the fucking security person and then pull out my English passport. And they're like, what the fuck? Where are you from? It's, moi, je ne parle français, toi, tu vois? And they're like, what the fuck is going on? I have faith. I'm so embarrassed about England, yeah, that I have fake conversations on the mobile. So when it's all kicking off with like all the bulldog tattoo, why are the fucking bags on the fucking carousel? Why is it taking so fucking Spanish cunts? You always on fuck. I pick up my mobile, yeah, and I go, "We dime, qué pasa?" And just have a complete fake conversation loudly to make people think, oh, he's not one of us. Like, he's not with them. And I deliberately stand away from them. Just going to get my chicken.
On you, mate.
But listen, man.
And I season my chicken like a motherfucker.
Yeah. No, I mean, yo, listen, man. I think it doesn't matter if you're white, brown, anything, yeah? I think any sort of nationalistic sort of behavior, I cringe at that, no matter where it's from, man. I'm sorry.
Well, if it's from Palestine.
No, I don't care where it's from, man. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, I don't know. The thing is, what I think, I want to read out this one comment because we got some really cool comments. Yo, shout out Kid Acne, shout out a couple of heads, you know, really cool, intelligent dudes who defended the Beyond the Streets, like, intelligently and politely, and just put some points across, you know what I mean, which they thought Doc Brown missed. Fine. That's beautiful, man. We want to engage you. We want to hear people's perspectives. One guy left a comment, though. This is the one I think Theme was pointing out. I'm not going to mention the guy's name. And the guy, I agree with a lot of his points. I agree with. But at the end, he just had to sign it off being a bit of a dick. Yeah. Can I read it out? Is that all right? Just quickly.
Yeah, man.
All right. He goes, Doc Brown totally missed the point and sounds incredibly ignorant. The exhibition is one of the biggest in the history of the Saatchi Gallery and has the Graffiti 101 intro for the general public, as it is reaching out to so many people who otherwise wouldn't be touched by it before. Why would the Saatchi Gallery...
Like Doc Brown, by the way. He's not a writer. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. You want it to appeal to these mother lovers like Doc Brown.
Yeah. Why would the Saatchi Gallery want their old prestigious building painted with graffiti because there is an exhibition featuring graph writers? I mean, that's a bit of a mute point. They can paint the wall white afterwards. It's not the fucking end of the world, yeah. And then a bit of a mute point.
Oh, right.
Because he said, why would they want the walls painted white? Like, why would they paint
the I thought you said mute point, and I was gonna make fun of you there.
Yeah, of course, because you love taking a piss, but okay.
Yeah.
And then I go, furthermore, it features London Graffiti most prolific and established writer, who is white. So Doc Brown's mixed race self is reaching with his comments. Ooh. Because
what Doc Brown, about?
No. Because basically Doc Brown, when he mentioned the point, he said that he goes, it's fine, everything. He goes, but on the front of the book is a white dude, which is Malcolm McLaren, which obviously he played a big part in the early parts of hip hop, and it's transition from fucking the ghettos into popular culture, into the nightclubs in downtown New York and Manhattan and stuff. He was integral in that part, but
listen,
I think it's a valid point that Doc Brown raises, man, because there are many other people they could put on there. Why did they choose the white guy? Because it's more palatable to the audience for Saatchi Gallery, man, at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Whose board of directors are completely white. CEO is white. Yeah. Original founders are white. You know what I mean? I just don't get the point of any of that message, man. I just don't... I got some bones to pick with that shit, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you really think that the prestigious Saatchi Gallery, yeah? Do you really think that graph exhibition is one of the biggest exhibits in Saatchi Gallery history? That bit is just fucking blowing my mind, because there's absolutely no fucking way that that's true, yeah? Secondly, who is this guy who's the biggest writer in London?
I guess he's talking about 10 foot. I guess he's talking about 10 foot. You know what I mean? But
10 foot's fairly new, bruv. You know what I mean? Talk to Zombie about that. Talk to Prime about that. Talk to mother lovers who've been in the game for a long time.
I mean, the race thing, we could discuss this till we're blue in the face. You know what I'm saying? But ultimately, hip hop is a black culture. It comes from a black culture. Obviously, there were many Hispanics, there were many even white people early on in the beginning of hip hop that were part of this thing, but it's predominantly a black culture. All the original samples used and the breaks used, that's all from black music as well. It's undeniable, you know what I'm saying? So there's no argument there, yeah? And it has been whitewashed a lot, you know what I'm saying? You can't say it hasn't been. I'm not saying Beyond the Streets has. I'm just saying in general, it happens a lot. So for people to be on tenterhooks and people to be cynical about things like this, I forgive it, man. I would never get mad at someone for being, dubious about these sorts of things. But what this guy went on to say, he goes, so Doc Brown's mixed race self is reaching with his comments. And then he said, and you lot, as in me and Theme, squirmed when he said that, with you both not being black or Hispanic. Yeah. And he goes, truly lame, if you ask me. One, that's an edited video, so you didn't really see whether we squirmed or not. And two, we didn't squirm. And three, I'm not white, man. I'm Arabic, motherfucker. But anyway.
Maddie is a tropical brother, man.
True.
And Hispanic, do you know what I mean? My missus, my wife and my whole family, extended family, is from Venezuela.
Yeah, motherfucker.
I used to live in Neuve de Paris. Not nice Paris. A fucking Moroccan Algerian Paris. This geezer's taking photos of dudes out there, Algerian Moroccan Paris. I can speak French backwards in Verlong because that's how they speak it over there. I know the fucking situation, man. That bit really fucked me off.
And then he goes,
the hijo, tu vois?
Yeah, he goes, truly lame, if you ask me, Doc Brown's comedy career is the only laughable thing here. And this guy, he's blatantly, like, judging by his name, he's blatantly not white. He looks like an Arab motherfucker as well. I reckon he's Arabic. You know what I'm saying? This guy who left the comment. And listen, big up to him for leaving a comment, because I just want to tell you, I just want to tell you my reply. I replied to him. I go, hey, hello. You know, just being polite. You're entitled to your opinion, mate, and I'm glad you shared it, but so is Doc Brown. No matter how ignorant you perceive it to be, I have yet to see the exhibit, so it's hard for us to defend it, although we talk further about it on the full pod. This clip is edited. I personally know some people involved in the exhibition too. You know what I mean? Like, we know some people involved, man. You know what I'm saying? We know bare people involved in this exhibition. So it's not like we're out to shit on it, man. But it's the Sargent Gallery. Sargent Gallery.
Hackett, Diet.
At the end of the day, beyond the streets, cool. But the Saatchi Gallery itself as an establishment, they can fuck themselves. I really don't give a shit about the Saatchi Gallery.
It's always funny and cringy when rich, posh white people want to like showcase hip hop culture or showcase any black culture. And they're like, oh, hi, we're doing a graffiti show. Come along and learn about graffiti. Oh, the history of breakdancing. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. We're doing at the National Ballet, a breakdancing season where we're getting the best breakdancers from around the world to come and showcase all of their finest moves and pops and locks. Come along. Come along to the Opera House. We're doing hip-hop season at the Opera House. Come along, everybody.
And you get those white women like doing those Instagram videos. This is how we do hip-hop dancing. You go left, do the right.
It's inevitable.
Come along to Saatchi and Saatchi. Graffiti beyond the streets. It's not just on the streets anymore. It's in my villa on the coast of Spain. Come along. Yeah. Graffiti, everybody. Say it together. Yeah, graffiti.
It's in Chelsea, in South Kent.
Champagne. You
know. Yeah.
What I don't get is the whole point of that message is kind of backfired because Doc Brown doesn't do graph. He's, you know, one of those people, if you were running that gallery, you'd want that sort of person to come in and see it. So he's come in and seen it. And he's given his thoughts on it. And that's completely cool. There's loads of shit I don't like. And I can diss the fuck out of it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that. But the worst bit of that message is you're coming all nice and correct saying, oh, I think Doc's being ignorant, da 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 da. And then you couldn't just finish it well. You then had to say something that just makes you look like you're
bring lost. His mixed race self over there.
Yeah, yeah.
That bit's fucked up. But
it's
the
like
bit about
an inch away from saying, bring your mixed race ass over here and say that.
His comedy career is, what did he say? The comedy career
only
is a flop.
The only laughable thing, or some shit like that.
Yeah, so let's put this up. Doc Brown's comedy career is not going badly, bruv.
Yeah,
it is not going badly. He is eating. I just need to reinforce that point. My man is eating.
I want to say as well, Doc Brown wasn't, and in no way, I'm sure if you listen to the whole podcast as well, there's no way he's coming from a place of like, I just want to be a hater just to fucking hate on shit. No, not like the all, dude man. Knows what he's talking about. He's passionate about it. He's dedicated a lot of his life to hip hop and to this culture. You know what I'm saying? So his point is valid. Whether you think it's ignorant or not, fine. But he's allowed to make his opinion be known, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's valid.
Do you remember Farms? When we were talking to Farms, talking about hip hop? You say nowadays, you can't even say, I don't like that track. I don't like that rapper. Whereas before, that didn't mean shit. You didn't like the rapper. You didn't like the rapper. There was other rappers that you liked. But now, you know, someone can be shit and you say, listen, I don't really like that guy. And you're a fucking
That's just my opinion. I don't listen to that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sorry.
I got some buttons here, man.
Check this button.
That's just my opinion. I don't listen to that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's sorry, what I'm that's saying. A, you know what I'm
what's
saying?
That? You know what I'm saying? It's from Prodigy. We big up Prodigy here.
King what?
Okay, enough.
Down. All right, okay, cool.
Enough of that talking about last week.
Yeah.
Themo, how's your ring piece?
Oh yeah.
How are you doing?
Ring piece is kind of healed up, you know. Serious gas still. The doctor phoned me yesterday because, you know, I got the blood test done at the docs and then they said, oh, you got to wait 17 years for the results. And then ended up going to A&E and they did it in an hour. She bailed me yesterday, man. She said, your cholesterol is 5.1. And I was like, yeah, what does that mean? She's like, we'd like it to be under 5. And I was like, what do I do with that? She said, well, actually, that's a lot better than mine. So mine was better than the docs. She said some different things. My iron levels were up. And I said, I've been eating bare spinach. And she's like, no, it's not because of that. It's basically because you were so ill. And so she wants me to do it again. And she said, did you leave a stool sample? I said, yeah, I left a motherfucking stool sample. I fucking did it in the hospital. She's like, yeah, that only checks for your shit. Like, we want to check what's associated with your shit. So we need you to come in and do another stool sample in the fucking doctor.
Oh, my God. You could do it in the post nowadays. I swear you could do a stool sample with the post.
No way. Just do a poopies in an envelope.
Yeah, man.
Straight
and it's up. Someone's wow. job is to receive all of those poops and unpackage them and put them in the right folder.
Imagine.
Can you imagine if that was your job? Why
haven't you labeled the poops yet?
You work in the mail room for the poop sample processing room, please. You come home smelling worse than a fishmonger.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, it's an important job, though. It's an important job. Salute the motherfuckers that sift through everyone's shit.
And
man.
So the whole antibiotics thing is all sorted out. Have you been sorted out a new antibiotic for your face?
No, I've never taken any shit like that again. Okay. And when I was going to the gym after the antibiotics, I was like, yo, I can't even like do one pull up. Like, it really affects you, that shit. And then I started reading about it, and it's like, yeah, it really affects you. Arms house to your mum's house. To your mum's house. See on Instagram, yeah. There's a bird. She's 18 or 19. She's just turned 18 in America, yeah. And she's on the Pornhub Flex or the what's it called? OnlyFans Flex, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's calling people daddy. Yeah, you know, and she's basically living in her parents' house and she sent like this picture message like this, you know what I mean? Like vag open, legs akimbo. And she says, this is for you, daddy, because she's sending it to one of the guys who she calls daddy, but she sent it to her pops. Oh, wow. She's posted the response from her pops. And he's basically like, I'm mad disappointed in myself. I can't believe like I failed so badly. Da, 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 da. And at the end of the message, he's like, you're out. And then there's pictures of her sleeping in, like, you know, shop doors and shit. You're out. You can't stay in this house like that. And I was like, yo, that's exactly the kind of thing. I didn't send my dad a dick pic, but he's just so disappointed. And so he's just like, man,
you can't compare.
It's better if you're out, you know?
No, you can't.
But he's not, I've not beaten him up. I've not da, 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 da. I mean, he's just like, yo, you're just out. You know, I just can't deal with it anymore. And I was thinking, oh my God, imagine this bird has sent this photo. And the photo, she's posted the photo and everything. I think it was another page that posted it and shit. I was thinking, oh my God, imagine getting that from your daughter. Your daughter, and she's only 18.
You know what? I think as time goes on, I think it's going to become more and more accepted. And I'm not saying in a good way or bad way. I think just sex work in general, like, because OnlyFans, if you're there flashing your vag, and you're doing it to your own accord and you're doing it because you want to do it, I don't see a fucking problem with that personally, man.
They're obviously doing it because they make hella money. Hella money. Because men are fucking scummy cunts.
And some people want to make
hella money.
As long as they're not being manipulated into doing it, they're not being coerced into doing it. Maybe 18 years old is a bit young. I mean, yeah, fine. I don't have a daughter. I'm not a woman. I don't know. Yeah. I, again, I'm not a psychologist.
I don't think there should be an
but
age.
As long as
limit,
you're doing
it
from your own volition, fine.
I don't think there should be an age limit. I think it should be. Oh, please don't just clip that. Let me finish the fucking sentence. I don't think necessarily
hurry up.
The age limit should be the most important thing. It should be, do you still live with your parents? That should be, there should be that. If you, even if you're 20, 21 or something, if you're still living with your parents, maybe don't do that. But you know what? Who are three blokes to fucking decide? It's not up to us to fucking decide. That's yeah, not, that's exactly. not our domain.
I turned on Netflix last night and there's a fucking woman talking about OnlyFans on it. There's like a whole OnlyFans series now.
Yeah, of course. You know about OnlyFans wanting to branch out from sex stuff. The OnlyFans are trying to do, they're creating comedy content. They're doing reality TV.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. They've been doing that. But check this out. I really could, I wouldn't be surprised in the future. And again, I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing or anything like that, but I can see it becoming so much more normalized. And to be honest,
we should
just to say before. Yeah, I'm I'll come swing my dick and leave a comment if you want to see us do an OnlyFans.
I'll do a helicopter
with my dick on the OnlyFans.
And I'll do the airplane, open up.
No, but check this out. I love the fact that OnlyFans, in the same way that in the music industry, the artists had to rely on the record industry and the record labels to release music. Now, because of the internet and everything, now we can do everything our own, and you can be your own boss, and you can do everything on your own terms. Same with porn,
People aren't tied to exploitative porn companies anymore. Women got abused,
they got exploited, they got fucking all sorts of fucked up shit, and they were at the whims of these porn moguls, and they were mainly white, big, old men. You know what I'm saying?
Ron Jeremy.
Now the power is in their hands. Yeah. Now, of course, this system can be abused still, and it can be, they can be manipulated. All these things. I'm not saying these things go away, but the power now is more into the hand of the person creating the content. And I would not be surprised if this becomes more and more normalized, whereas in 10, 20 years' time, there would be a time now. Yeah. Talal, I want Talal to listen to this. Put your headphones back on, bro. T. I wouldn't be surprised in the future if, I'm talking in 10, 15, 20 years time, maybe not even that long, where it becomes a time where every girl, I'm saying girl because ultimately now in the porn industry, it's mainly men paying for that shit to see women.
Equal rights for men's pay in porn.
I'm just saying.
Men on Chatterbait the same make way. Bucks.
Listen, I'm not finished
men
my point.
Men on OnlyFans make bucks.
I've not finished my point. Yeah, I'm sure as well. Yeah. But mainly, I'm sure it's mainly headed the majority, by women. For now. Yeah, maybe it'll change in the future. But what I'm trying to say is, I would not be surprised if in the future, you know how people after uni or after college, they take a gap year. It's like a thing, traditional, people do. After college, they do a gap year and then they go to university. I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes so popularized and so normalized that every girl who's halfway decent looking or whatever, just does an OnlyFans for a year after college, makes a bunch of dough, and then goes off and does something else afterwards. I reckon it might become normal. I'm just saying
we
it
went
might
through
become...
a bad patch financially, and she's like, "Yo, shall I just get naked?" And
I would consider
like,
it.
Hell no! What the fuck
I would
are you
consider
talking
it.
About?
If and I was
those
a
people, Latina's doing it, and they're making so much fucking dough. But I was just like, hell no, man.
Let's remember one thing, because look, I've been through the same thing, but let's remember something. And let's stay grounded here.
Yeah.
Not every person, no matter how good looking they are, not every person who opens an account makes loads of fucking money. The ones we notice, the ones that we see, the ones that are popular on social media, the ones that, you know, the clips come up on your search when you go to search and then their picture just comes up automatically on your Instagram, whatever. And they're like, come check out my OnlyFans.
What are you searching BBW, Talal?
They're the ones that are hugely successful. But the majority of people who have an account on that website are not massive money makers. They might make some pocket money or something. It's very rare that you're going to get loaded off that shit.
But that's what I'm saying.
You know how difficult it is when you're a BBW lover and you're a white man with a small dick? Like it's a really harsh situation to be in, man.
Bitch!
Sorry.
it's really difficult, man. You're like, yo, I can't even get in there. I can't even reach. What the fuck? The booty's too big.
But the thing is, most of these OnlyFans, they're not even... It's not even... It's just them on their own, on their bed, in their bedroom, in the sanctity of their own house with a little camera sticking things up their panani, man. Like, it's nothing, really, if you think about it. It's just... If they would do it, if there was no camera there, they'd probably be doing it.
The majority of people don't want to share the most intimate moments of their life. It's a very small section of people who are happy to share that.
It's going to become so normalized.
That's stupid.
It's going to become so. Of course it is, man.
No,
well, it's going to become more.
Porn's always been normalized. Porn has always been on the forefront of technology.
Only recently.
It's always been. No, always. Since the 70s.
No, it's always been the forefront of technology, yes. But it's not been as normalized as it is today. Okay? There isn't as much shame attached to it. It's not as taboo as it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Mm. All right, let me ask you guys a question. I learned something interesting. I was last week doing a cool little mini tour with a comedy friend.
Yes, we need to talk about this.
Yeah,
he's also an Arab.
You've made it.
No, I haven't at all. No, let's not frame it like that. So let me finish my thought and then we can talk about it.
I keep telling Theme, he keeps saying, Talal's made it, he's made it. I'm like, no, he hasn't made
fucking
it, but he's
made
doing
it,
well
baby.
And he needs to he needs to ride that wave.
He won't even chat to us soon. Talal won't even chat to us soon.
It's not that big time.
Now, Talal, bring it back to the beginning. Explain what you've been up to, because it's really cool. Yeah, go.
I wanted to ask you guys a question because I did a little tour last week. Supporting a big comic and playing some really cool venues, including the Royal Festival Hall. I got to do 10-15 minutes at the Royal Festival Hall. Supporting Bassem Youssef, just singing my stupid songs. But I'm pretty sure I did the stupidest set that's ever been performed on that stage. So Bassem Youssef is a... I'm going to give you the short version. He's an Egyptian comic who now... lives in America. He had to flee Egypt because of his comedy was satirical and the government were going to arrest him and torture him in that. So he fled and went to the USA. And Jon Stewart took him under his wing. And now he's transformed himself into a stand-up comedian rather than a TV satirist. And he does it in his second language. He does it in English. And he's still got a good following. And he's doing his first international tour. And everywhere he's been going around Europe, he's looking up local Arab comics to support him. And in London, in England, 3 England dates, me and Omar Bedawi, really funny British Egyptian comedian, fucking brilliant guy. He basically looked up the Arabs are not funny. He looked up Arab comics in the UK.
Yeah.
There's not many of us.
No.
And the first thing that comes up is Arabs Are Not Funny, which is a comedy night I do where British Arab comedians perform comedy.
There's one coming up soon. There's one coming up
in May, yeah. Arabs Are Not Funny, look it up.
We're all going to go to that. So everyone come and see.
Yeah, let me bring a crew. Man, if there's a crew of Arms House listeners at the May show, and it's a fundraiser for Syria, by the way.
When is it in May? When? Come on, Talal. Let us know. And where is it? Is it at that place in East London? What's it called? Sorry, guys. Yeah, he's just looking it up on his phone now. Just because I want to advertise it, Talal, man. It'll be good. If people can come and check it out, it'd be great. Arabs Are Not Funny. It's just Arab comedians in English, talking in English, talking about cool shit, funny shit. What's that venue in East, Talal?
Oh, Yalla Shukran.
Rich Mix.
Rich Mix, that's it. Is it in
Rich
Mix?
I don't want to mention it if that's not where it is, so hold on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Talal tell the story, man.
Yeah, I know, but I want to plug this thing.
He's the king of interruptions. Arabs Are Not Funny.
Sorry.
25th of May at the Grand Junction. Oh, it's a cool venue. Grand Junction is near Paddington.
All right, sweet.
It's a pretty cool venue.
20th
actually.
Of May. All right.
25th of May, Thursday. 25th. And there's a lot of us, so it's going to be a good night. There's fucking Prince Abdi, Esther Manito, Isabel
Me
Farah,
and Theme will be there. Me and Theme
Omar
will be
Badawi.
There.
Who I went on tour with. Hilal Qasim, Talal Karkouti, Ahmed Ibrahim, Mamoun El Agab, and Farah Sharp.
Nice.
All right. You'll love Prince Abdi. He's really cool. See, I don't know where I was in the story now. Fuck me.
You were going to ask us a question. You did.
So he looks up all the. So when you look up Arabian comics in England, you're going to find Arabs are not funny. So he looked up all the previous shows, looked up the comedians, contacted me and said, have you got any videos of your stuff? And I sent him a video. He goes, would you like to support me on the UK leg of my tour? The guy who also was supporting him with me, so we did 10 minutes each before his hour-long show. His name's Omar, and he gave me... it was amazing, by the way. It was such a fucking cool tour. And Royal Festival Hall was nuts to play at the Royal Festival Hall. 2,500 seats. Someone who was there with us was like, I saw the Philharmonic here last week. I looked around. I was like, oh, this stage is made for the Philharmonic. The whole back of the stage is an organ, like hundreds of pipes, like for this organ.
Mm.
And like, you don't even need a mic. You stand there and go, and you hear it reverberating the whole room. Like, it's just made for sound, this room. Obviously, we were mic'd up, but you didn't need to be. It was insane. And when this guy was like, yeah, I saw the Philharmonic last week here. They did a festival of classical music. I was like, I'm going to do the dumbest shit that's ever happened on this stage.
Yeah.
I said it to myself quietly. I was like, that's what I'm going to do tonight. Because that's my act anyway. But I was like, I'm going to double down. I'm going to make this act fucking ridiculous. So when he welcomed me on stage, he goes, Talal Karkouti. I did a lap. Maddie has the video. Maybe he can put the video on top of me saying it. I did a lap of the stage and shouted out, hooray, hooray, I'm at the Royal Festival Hall. Like that, I was shouting it out loud. And then I did a lap of the whole stage and I began my set and I was fucking singing about playing a terrorist in movies and shit. And then
a lot of your material is about Bob as well, about dad.
I sang about dad's ass, sung about hummus. And at one point, like, I knew mum had brought me some kusa mahshi. She's like, Talal, do you need any food? And I was like, what do you mean? Because I'll bring you some kusa mahshi. And I was like, no, mum, you're coming to the Royal Festival Hall. Don't bring kusa mahshi, stuffed courgettes to the Royal Festival Hall. And then I stopped myself and I was like, you know what, mum? Actually, yeah, I could do with some food. Bring the food. And then just before I sang my song, I have a song about Arabic food because it was a heavily Arabic audience in the crowd. So, you know, it's not even that big. Everyone's like, wow, what a big deal. I was like, I was singing to a room full of Arabs. Like, it's not, if there's any Arab-related event happening, all the Arabs come to it. It was the 90% Egyptians in the audience. The audience is
predominantly Arabic. It's not that big a deal. Yeah.
It was just amazing to get to play that stage. You know, it's just fucking incredible to just be on that stage and do such stupid shit. And then at one point, I was like, my mum's in the crowd. And everyone went, yeah. And I was like, mom, oh, there you are. Tell everyone what you brought for me today. Mm. And mum went, and I was like, come on, tell everyone. And my cousin dogged her out. She went, kusa mahshi, like that. She shouted out, kusa mahshi. And everyone was like, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, my mum brought stuffed courgettes to my show tonight. And I was like, come on then, bring it up here. And
well, Talal,
let me finish. She goes, what? And I go, bring it up here. I want it now, on the stage, right now. And at the Royal Festival Hall, my mum pulled out a Tupperware with stuffed courgettes in it, brought it to the stage in front of thousands of people. And everyone was like, yeah. And that obviously, respectful son, I took it from her. I kissed her hand. I touched her hand on my head. I said, thank you, mama, of course. And then I stood up and I said, my mum brought Tupperware to the South Bank Centre. Look at this bitch. Like that, just in front of everyone.
So good.
And that must be the only time that's ever happened in that venue. I can guarantee that. The only time someone's mum brought Tupperware up to the stage for them. I was so proud. I'll never, ever forget that night in my life. The audience we were playing to were all like middle-aged Arab people whose opinions don't matter in the zeitgeist of popular culture. Like, literally, it doesn't fucking matter. Unfortunately, I wish I was playing to 1,500 mixed culturally and like review. There wasn't a reviewer in the crowd, like, for the whole show. Like, I was looking online going, review of the Bassem Youssef show. No one reviewed that shit. Because it doesn't matter. Really? It's all Arab shit. It's a folder. There's an Arabic word called folder, which my brother will teach you one day. And it's nothing. It's all word of mouth. No proper budget into the promotion. If they'd have made one phone call, there would have been at least a reviewer there. Oh, would you like to come to the Royal Festival and review the show? Of course. The Times would have come. The Guardian would have come. Like, they would have come, but they don't think about that. Arabs are fucking messy. Egyptians especially. They don't think about that shit. They're like, just do it, make the money and go. Like, that's all that fucking matters.
I said Yella in the barbershop today, and he fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I bet.
He started looking on his phone, trying to tell me, there's a Michael Jackson song, Take That, copying the song. I'm like, mate, I don't know about Take That. Like, just chill out. Said, no, I'm telling you, Take That. They copied the song, Michael Jackson. And he starts going on Spotify. And we're there for a couple of minutes. I'm in the chair looking at the mirror and just looking at him behind me, looking on it. And I'm like, yalla, yalla, yalla. And the other barber went, oh my God, he's saying yalla. You know what I mean? They fucking loved it. And
that's
said,
because white people are so dumb. We're amazed that they can learn one word in another language.
Yeah, exactly because of that, man. Exactly.
That's funny. In this play I'm rehearsing for at the moment, there's a scene where I'm getting my hair cut and the geezer cutting my hair is just taking his time and being a dickhead. But here's what I wanted to ask you. So fuck me. How long ago was this? 15 minutes ago?
Yeah.
It's not even interesting anymore. I don't care anymore. All right. The guy I was touring with taught me a fun fact. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
About Arabs. Okay. What is the difference, guys, between an Arab and a Chinese person?
Arabs have more hair.
It used to be nothing, okay? 100 years ago, Arabs, Chinese, Japanese, all Southeast Asians and South Asians and Arabs, we were all just cast as Oriental. That's really? Why it's the Orient Express. Well, that's why we're the Orient. We were all Oriental, all of Asia.
Yeah, but Talal, Oriental itself as a word is now considered relatively racist.
Oh, yeah. It's a very outdated word. But also,
it's a British colonialist. It's a British colonialist word that they use to describe like that side of the world. They go, yeah, Oriental, that bit.
Correct.
And it's like, and it's a bit bullshit.
However, basically.
But yeah, go on.
You'd also, your first thought would be, okay, that's a very outdated term. And second thought would be East Asia, South, Far East, Oriental, right? Orient. Oriental would be Far East. China, Japan, Taiwan, all that stuff. But 100 years ago, Orient, Oriental was all of Asia. Okay, and there was this American Arab. In America, Orients, Orientals didn't have any rights. You couldn't become a citizen. Maybe a bit more than 100 years. Now that's 2023. Maybe 120 years or something. You didn't have any rights in America. You couldn't get a passport. You couldn't be a citizen. Nothing. If you were Oriental. Like that. Mm. And there was this Arab called George Shishim who went to the courthouse and he said,
Shishim?
Fuck this. Yeah, Shishim. George Shishim. He's like, fuck this shit. I want my rights. I've lived this since I was a little boy. I should have a citizenship here and be able to have all the same rights as you. And they're like, nah, you're Oriental. You built the train tracks. That's all you're good for. Like, we don't need you. And he's like, wait, no. You don't think I have rights? You don't think I deserve rights? They're like, nah. And he goes, okay. He goes, what about Jesus? And then all these guys were like, whoa. And all the people in the judicial system were like hardcore Christians, like mad Christians, everyone in America. If you weren't a Christian, you were like a Native American heathen or something. Yeah. So they were all mad Christians. Because what about Jesus? And they're like, what? And they're like, where's Jesus from? He's from the Middle East, right? He's from Palestine. And they're like, oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, no. And he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you think I'm Oriental and I don't deserve rights, then Jesus himself, if he came to America today, he would be Oriental. He wouldn't have any rights. And they were like, oh, fuck, we messed up. Okay, what were you again? He goes, I'm Arab. And he goes, Arab. Okay, I'll write that down. And that's when Arabs got removed from the Oriental classification. And then they suddenly were able to get rights and stuff. And that's and that was like that until around 2011. And you might not have noticed this theme, but Maddie would have noticed on like forms and shit for the doctors and stuff. There was never, there never used to be a category for Arab. Whereas now there is. Before, it was always other or white other or other white.
Oh, I hate other Arab. All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Until
yeah,
2011, the there was never an Arab category because they only just clocked on.
It's true.
But it was since George Shashim did that shit until 2011, Arabs were counted as white. We were just white.
Officially. That's mad you say that. I didn't know that was the reason because I remember always hitting other. Whenever asked, like, are you white? Are you black? Are you this? Are you that? And I was always other. I used to always hit other. And but then, yeah, I started noticing, I started seeing Arab. But I thought it was because of 9/11 and all that shit happened. They're like, oh, no, we got to distinguish now between these fuckers and these fuckers. That's what I thought it was. Genuinely, that's what I thought it was, man. And also, it was always mad. I always found it confusing because obviously I love American culture, hip hop, all these things. And whenever they talk about Asian, they're talking about Chinese people, basically, and when in England, if you say Asian, you mean Indian South, or Pakistani or whatever. Asian, you know what I'm saying? And so
and Chinese and Japanese
pisses me off because I'm like I'm Asian. Yeah. Hello, Syria's in Asia. Like, can't I be Asian?
It's mad confusing and yeah.
Hey, was that an interesting story or did I just waste everyone's time?
No, it's interesting, man. It's interesting. I didn't know it was that was the reason. You know, what do you think, white boy theme?
Yeah, do you think
I
it
have
matters?
No comment because I'm so white. So white, I'm not allowed to. White people can't comment on those sort of things.
Well, you can comment. You can say your opinion. Do you think it even matters that? Imagine if you, when you do those forms for the doctors and it didn't have the category white and it had everything else, how would you feel?
But me personally, I would love it because I would love to tick something else.
No, but
I'm sure a lot of Millwall fans would be very upset.
But even white, there's so much, like, you know, if you look at anyone's lineage, actually, even today, I was watching this thing. You remember I said on a previous podcast, I said I love watching debates with, like, you know, physicist versus Islamic scholar and, like, you know, theist versus atheist and shit like that. I was watching
Elephant versus giraffe.
Yeah, I was watching a thing today with Richard Dawkins and Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah, they were having a little chat about something. And they were talking about evolution and how we all, if you trace our grandparents and our grandparents and our grandparents' parents and our grandparents' parents, all the way, eventually you'll reach a fish. And they were saying how you can't imagine that in your head. It's so hard to fathom that, But that's like, this is over 50 million years, you know what I mean? 50,
fish,
60,
one fish.
80 million years, you know what I mean? Like, and he goes, and then he said a joke. He goes, like, ultimately, you would have eaten your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather with a bit of slice of lemon and some tartar sauce, you know? Like, it's crazy. Like, ultimately, we all come from the same fucking place, man. And, you know, racism is stupid. So, yo, I got a little story I wanted to tell, if that's all right, guys.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right, but I want to play a song.
We don't have to ask permission to talk on the podcast.
I know, I'm not asking. I'm just transitioning.
No, you don't have to ask. You have to go tala, 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 tala.
So, yo, I want to play this song quickly, man. It's a French song from Paris. I want to tell a story about something that happened to me. No, there's no subtitles, but I do recommend people go and watch the music video for this song. Yeah, it's by a group called Mafia Confrie.
Mafia Confrie!
Yeah, Confrie, exactly. Pour ceux, I think that's how you pronounce it, pour ceux, for those, I think it means.
What does Mafia Confrie mean?
Just Mafia K1, Mafia Confrie.
Yeah, Mafia K1.
Big how is K1
from the 90s? That's the abbreviation.
Yeah. It's just mad Parisian slang, Talal. Yeah, these are all Moroccan.
It's actually it's Arabic. It's Algerian. Yeah. These guys are Algerian Moroccans and black Senegal.
Yeah, yeah, they're from the north of Africa coming in. Like they're basically part of that, you know, that immigrants coming over to France and shit. And they're super fucking hardcore dudes. And this video for this song, I recommend people watch it. When you talk about hood videos of people on scooters,
I know exactly when you're gonna play.
Yeah, and their mates with like dogs on leashes and like people like even a part
the
where
hundreds of kids in the estate.
Yeah, just kids, and it's like all done on a hand cam, like it's all done pure ghetto style. Yeah, but
can
I want to tell a story.
Say after. Something yeah. really quickly before you play it.
Yeah,
before you
of course.
Do it.
Go.
When
go
I was go. In Cannes, so you know how in France they have that law. That like, you know, 40% of all the music and television
yeah,
has to be French
we've mentioned
language
this.
Stuff.
70%, I think it is.
Is it
yeah.
70%? Yeah. It's part of it. There's a department of the government, which is the protection of the culture and the language of France.
Yeah, we've mentioned this.
And that also includes all of the African countries that speak French, because they're very proud that their colonial past means that so many countries still speak French. And that counts.
But so it's like rooted... in racism, though, which
yeah, I know, yeah, brought
up.
But like, but those African countries that speak French count among those that 70%. So last summer, I was in France with my girlfriend, and we were watching television, watching the chart show. And we were like curious. Oh, the chart show's just started. Let's watch the top 20 Billboard music charts. I kid you fucking not, yeah, 20-2. Number 20 in the charts, all the way down to number 2 in the charts, were all African French-speaking songs. The music videos, yeah. You could tell they were shot in various African countries that spoke French. There might have been one or two actual French ones sprinkled in, but no more than that.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. And then number 1 was Harry Styles, as it yeah. was by Harry Styles. But it was just 100% African music. They are into it. It was the Billboard charts.
It's big fashion at the moment massive, as well.
Massive.
But écoutez-moi, is 40%. It's 4 out of 10. 4 out of every 10 songs that get played 40. On the radio.
Well, they had 19 out of 20.
Yeah,
wow. In the charts, which was, it shows that the law doesn't necessarily dominate. It was more than the required amount.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So yeah, man. Go on. Let's hear.
Let me just play a little bit of this song, and then I'll go into my story. Mafia.
Wait,
go on.
You remember when I played a song on the podcast once called "Je M'adapte" by Karim, and you spell call him Rimka because you spell it very long. He's like the head honcho of Mafia Confrey.
Ah right, okay, boom.
Mm-hmm. He's in the video.
Mafia Confrey pour sou.
Pas pour ceux qui chient dessus, qui savent, nous on est plus quoi ça marcher dessus. Pour nos sœurs qui seront les mères de demain. Wesh wesh cousin, pas y'a quelqu'un pour les
cas. Wesh cousin,
bouge les mains ou genre garlouche. Hardcore même quand ça galoche. Pour les cas sociaux qui font des fautes sur les murs, qui ont des lacunes. Pour les Touaregs, les pirates du bitume. J'en plus de chico sur le côté, qui boite balafré avec un œil qui se bat en couille. Toujours devoir qu'il y a un bruit pour ceux qui bougent, pas pour ceux qui chient dessus. Deux enveloppes dans l'urne, dans l'une un big up au bled. Dans l'autre un big up aux jeunes des cités HLM. C'est pour les mecs avec ou sans permis. Les low qui dans le box, la weed dans le coffre et le 20 grammes de box. Au charbon comme le jeune fraîche pour les flèches. 200% crevard, trop puissant, malin et rusé. Lève ton majeur bien haut si tu me sens venir. Samir elle a trahi et là elle court risque de partir. C'est pour les meufs accompagnées, les charmantes et stylées. Et pilées qui yeux de faire notre côté. Je
manifeste la famille pour se l'attache. Pour les mecs de ma rue qui s'étrangent à la tâche. Pour les gens valjants, les gros barjols, les rageuls qui roulent en BM à l'ancienne avec les phares jaunes. Qui rôle quand t'as slip, tu te joins dans le cendrier. Comme un fusil qui peut te faire valser un cendrier. À ceux qui t'aiment ou ceux qui te surinent, qui te font sourire ou trembler. Ceux qui te font rire jusqu'à t'en étrangler. Les gros timbrés, ceux qui ont envie de Ken ou d'Elken. Qui se foutent ça en pleine semaine, berceau au dessin animé hardcore comme Ken. Aux survivants de la galère qu'on assimile à leur ville. Quand de la Iria au grossiste de Ria et de Saint-Emilia. À ceux qui sont toujours là pour leur familia. À ceux qui kiffent la vraie fête, je te parle pas du Mia.
Sans armes, retenant mes larmes comme Kelly Joyce. Ça, ça te concerne pas, donc là tout de suite est à ton poste. Ceux qui ont compris que la vie est ce que t'en fais jusqu'à ta mort. La vie ce n'est pas un film dont ton quartier serait le décor. Pour ceux qui ont bien connu et côtoyé l'inoubliable. Ça fait partie de notre passé, de ces choses ineffaçables. Ceux qui très tôt ont accusé de mec à part sur le bitume. De par leur attitude, ça c'est de la part de Jibitume.
Yes. Wow. All right. So that's some ghetto ass Parisian hip hop right
really
there.
Really aggressive.
And yeah, and I just wanted to like tee that up for a little story, like a back in the day story.
What we're going to do right here is go back.
And back in the day, I went to foundation art at Richmond College. Yeah. I did a foundation art course. And part of our course was a trip to Paris. Yeah. So we went to Paris and, you know, with my class, we all went to Paris and, you know, we did all the, you know, the Louvre and all these things. Anyway, our hotel that they put us up in was in a real ghetto part of Paris. Yeah. Super ghetto part. And so, and obviously, you know, we were 18, 19 years old, there's boys and girls, and we were all like chilling in someone's room and we're all drinking and getting merry and all that stuff. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And these two girls that I was friends with, Hannah and Celeste, the names were.
And you were over 18?
Yeah,
wait,
we were like
college. Nice. That's eight.
Foundation is after A levels.
After school. So you're 18.
Yeah, after A levels. There's foundation. Then I went to uni after that.
Over 18. Like, and were there rules about staying up late or mixing?
Yeah,
with
but, you know, ultimately, whatever. You know what I mean? Okay. They weren't enforcing it so hard. You know
they can't,
saying?
Can they? On over
yeah, exactly. And you know, and so we were all chilling. And then these two girls I was with, they were like, oh, we're going to go get something to eat down the road. Because there was a kebab shop down the road in this ghetto fucking area. Yeah, I can't remember exactly which area we were in.
Can you remember the number?
Number of what?
75,
100. Oh,
banlieue. Which banlieue you were in?
Mate, this is a long...
On every car would have the same.
I can't remember. I can't remember, man.
Do you speak fluent French theme?
No.
Parle français.
Because you laughed. Were you laughing at the lyrics in the middle of that song? You laughed. Were you laughing at the lyrics?
At the beginning, yeah. But I used to listen to that song religiously since I was about 14.
Old track.
Okay. I went to stay before Maddie kicks in. The area of the everyone in Mafia Confrérie. Okay, Mafia Confrérie is Verlin. Yeah, it means Africa, because when you spell Africa back, when you do the syllables backwards, African can raf, but it just evolved into Confrérie, and then that's why it means. The mafia of Africa, Confrérie, Africa Confrérie.
Got it.
That's where it is. And in the south of every single, there's like 20, 30 people in Mafia Confrérie. And some of the people in Saint-Treize has like 4 or 5 people in it, and they're still in Mafia Confrérie. Mafia Confrérie, you have to be from the south of Paris in La Vitry. Or like in another hood, very close together. So this everyone is from that particular banlieue. Area. It's the south. It's not, these places aren't in Paris. Yeah. It's so racist in Paris. I was telling this to Maddie the other day. This is back in the day. I think they changed
Le Pen. Raciste Le Pen.
Oui, voilà quoi. And they used to have, so your mum would work in the, if you lived in the banlieue, your mum might work in Paris in 75. 75 is like Paris, 75. Everyone has 75 on their car, blah, blah, blah. And she would need to come back after her shift back to the banlieue. But just to make life difficult, they would stop the trains to the banlieue at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. So if you had a job there, you'd be stranded. And we're talking like, we're not talking like, Ealing in London or Shepherd's Bush in London. We're talking that it's quite
Surrey
far.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or Deptford.
And they have to
Deptford.
Go
Slough. Sorry, go to Slough. Or
they wouldn't be able to come back. And it kicked, it like made it worse and worse and worse. And in the banlieue, when you live in the banlieue, I stayed there for many, many years because my friend James, my friend Jean-Jacques, who I met at uni, he had a place there. And
you lived there for years.
Years and years. And we kept on going back. And then we would do that. And then we would go to the mountains for snowboarding. It was basically
would visit for years. You didn't live there for years.
Lived in France for a couple
you
of
did.
Years. But I lived in the Pyrenees doing snowboarding. My girlfriend was from Marseille.
Oh, yeah, Maddie was telling us. Sorry, you can come back to your story, Maddie.
Can I finish my story?
That's. I just wanted to explain Mafia Confrit and why it's called Mafia Confrit. Because Talal was saying, why is it Confrit? Confrit.
And also, I got a shout out, Zeal, VFL. He's the one who put me onto that tune. He's, he's half Algerian, kind of French, kind of like mixed in there with there. And so a lot of French
hip-hop. He speaks fluent French.
He put me on to a lot of French hip-hop. But yeah, so what? Can I continue my story now, party people? Is that okay?
That's cool.
So boom, I'm in the hotel room. We're all there chilling, drinking. These two girls, they want to go get a kebab. And I'm like, look, I'm going to come with you because, it's mad dodgy around here. Yeah. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Let me go. Yeah.
Like you're going to help. Yeah.
Well, at least it's better than nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, team, so do I his voice. You do a great voice of a you. What would Maddie have sounded like?
No, I'm coming with you. Don't worry, girl.
Although my balls had dropped by then, but okay, cool. So boom, we walk down there. We go down to the kebab. We're there chilling. I get some chips. So I'm sitting there eating my chips. And then Hannah's there ordering her food or paying for her food. And Celeste is stood there. And there's some other guy in a just chilling next to her, yeah? And next thing I know, she pulls out Hannah, who's paying for her food. She pulls out her wallet. Or her, like, purse or whatever. No, we're all English, yeah?
Oh, I thought Celeste.
Celeste, she was a black girl from England, man. I don't know her origins, but she definitely wasn't French, yeah? And, but Hannah's there paying with her purse out, and this dude stood next to her, just grabs it off her and throws it out of the front door of the fucking kebab joint. And I'm like watching this going on in front of me, yeah? And I'm like, oh shit. He grabbed it off her, dashed it out of the door. I look at the door and there's a guy there, Arab looking motherfucker with a yellow puffer jacket, scars all on his face and shit, catches the fucking purse and legs it down the road, yeah? And then the guy just runs out after him and legs it down the road. And I'm just sitting there eating going, oh shit, that's fucked up, yeah? And then Hannah looks at me and goes, yo, Maddie! What the fuck, man? Help me, man. What the fuck? Yeah. And I'm like,
all right, girls.
I know in my head, there's right, nothing. I know in my head, there's no way I'm going to fucking fight these guys over her purse. Yeah. There's no way. I'm in Paris in the middle of nowhere at 1 a.m. Like, I don't know what these guys are armed with or anything. Yeah. I'm not going to start fucking armsing these guys over. But I don't want to look like a little bitch, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, okay. So I go hold my chips, yeah. I get to hold my French fry.
Hold my chips, darling.
I was like, yeah, let me go at least look like I'm going to do something. I'll run down the road or whatever. So I come out of the kebab shop. I look down the road and I just see them go around the corner at the end of the road and they've ducked around the corner. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, let me leg it to the end of the road. Oh, they're gone. And come back and go, oh, I'm sorry. This is what in my head. So boom, I leg it down the road. I get to the end of the road and boom, there's a big meat wagon, police, French police meat wagon. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit. Like on the corner, like just tucked behind the corner. So I didn't see them until I got to the corner. Then I saw the big meat wagon.
Meat wagon is slang for police van.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and then I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, and then I look behind me, and then Hannah and Celeste caught up with me now. Yeah, and they like start shouting at the police. Going,
did she still have your chips?
She still have my chips. But the chips, about the chips now. Yeah, and then so they start yelling at the police, going, "I just got robbed! I just got robbed!" and all this stuff. And the police out in Paris, they're like quick.
Different.
They're like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And they quickly, within a blink of an eye, they slid the door open and they were like, get in the van. Yeah, get in the van. Yeah, we're going to find these fuckers, basically, yeah. And so I'm looking around, yeah, and then Hannah and Celeste are going, fucking come on, Maddie, like that. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I get in the van, yeah, and then they close the door, and then woo, 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 woo. They put the lights on, everything, and we're zinging around Paris now, yeah, with the lights on, jumping red lights, woo, 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 woo. Wow. And basically the police,
go
they
around
turn
the
around.
Champs-Élysées, up and underneath the Eiffel Tower.
We weren't
through the Louvre, around, looking around.
Yeah, no, we weren't quite around that area. We were in the ghetto area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not that area. And then the policeman, he said, if you see them, you tell me when you see them. Yeah.
Oh, he was Chinese.
Whatever, yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, cool. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, there's no way we're going to see these guys. They're long gone, yeah. We're zinging around, about 10, 15 minutes now. We're zinging around in this fucking police car in Paris with the lights on, everything, zinging around Paris. And it's quite exhilarating, you know what I'm saying? We're quite drunk as well, and we're like sitting in the back, and they're like zinging through. And then just as it's like starts dying down and we're like, okay, we're not going to find these fuckers. Out of the corner of my eye, I see the big yellow puffer jacket.
Oh, shit.
The guy was wearing a big yellow fucking puffer jacket. Yeah, you couldn't miss it. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that's the dude. And they were like, like that. And they jumped out and they pulled out their guns. And they were like, going, yo, yo, arrête. And the guy's like, put his hands in the air like that. And he was like going down on all fours and shit. And they grip this guy up, yeah? And they start like armsing him up on the floor. They're like roughing him up a bit as well, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, shit. And then they grip him up in like a half Nelson. And then they start bringing him to the van. And I'm like, don't put this fucking guy in the van with me, man. I'm in the fucking van, yo. And they open the van door. They lean this guy's head right into the van like this, yeah? And he's like, you know, all caught up with two policemen behind him. And he's like saying all this mad shit in French. And he's got, I'm telling you, this guy, he had mad scars all over his face and shit. He looked like a proper nutter. So boom, then they take him off. Another police car comes. They put him in the car, in the other car. And then they take us to the fucking police station now, yeah? Because we got to do a fucking report.
You're on a school trip. You don't need this shit, man.
We gotta be up at 7 in the morning for some shit. With, you know, a school trip.
Going to the Louvre.
Whatever it might be, yeah. And now we're talking, we're 2 in the morning or something, yeah. And then we're in the police station now. And I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. They put me and Celeste and Hannah in a room, yeah. And then there's a glass wall, and then they put the dude with the yellow jacket, the crazy dude, they put him on the other side of this fucking glass wall. It must be the same, because the lights were turned off in our room. I'm assuming this was the room where they do lineups, you know, where they shine the light on the people and then the people in the dark, and you can point people out in a lineup. You know those type of things, yeah? Yeah. We weren't doing a lineup, yeah? But for some reason, they put us in this room. And then there was a glass wall, and then there was this dude. Yeah.
It was like a two-way mirror, Maddie. It's like a one-way mirror.
Something like that.
They use those for interrogations as well. Yeah.
They didn't explain any of this shit to us. They just said, sit here, and then they put that guy.
Well, they all spoke Chinese. How are they going to explain it to you?
Yeah, these fucking Chinese motherfuckers. And so we're just looking at this guy. Behind this, we don't know if he can see us or not see us. And this guy is shouting. He's going, underground, he's just shouting at the top of his lungs, yeah? And then at one point, because the girls, they're on either side of me and they're grabbing me on my arms, yeah? Going, oh, Maddie, I'm scared, yeah? Because this guy is literally sat 2 meters in front of us behind this glass wall, yeah? And they're like, Maddie, I'm scared. I'm like, don't worry, it's all good, yeah? And this guy's going, like shouting shit in French, yeah? And then at one point, he gets up and he starts banging his head like that. Boosh, boosh, on the glass wall. Yeah.
No, right in front of you.
Right in front of... He obviously now, thinking back, he couldn't see that we were there. Yeah, because we were in the dark, because there was no lights in the room we were in. I couldn't figure that out at the time when I was there. I thought he could just see us, and we're just sat in basically in the same room with a glass thing.
He knew you were there. 100%.
God knows.
He knew people were behind.
He's been arrested a million times and he knows.
Well, check this out. What we found out later when we wrote the report, this guy just got released from prison earlier that day.
Mm.
Yeah. And so just imagine you just spent time in prison, you come out, and then now you're back in fucking prison. Imagine
you just spent time in prison, you come out, and the first thing you do is rob someone's wallet.
It's rob. Yeah, exactly. But still, he was pissed off, man. Yeah. He was banging his head against, because he couldn't, his arms were, he had handcuffs on, yeah? So he was just banging his head, boof, boof. And then these girls, they were clinging onto me, going, "Man, I'm scared." And I was like, "Don't be scared, it's fine." And I like, knowing there was the glass wall, yeah, I was like standing up going, I was like, "Can we go, motherfucker? Fuck you." And I was like shouting at him through the glass wall. He probably couldn't even hear me. It was probably soundproof as well, yeah. But I was like just showing off in front of these girls a little bit. And I was like, "Yo, fuck you, man." You know what I mean? And in the end, we had to write this big, long report. We didn't get back to the hotel till like fucking like 5-6 in the morning. And then we had to be up at 7 and go to the fucking Louvre or whatever it was. But it was a mad experience, you know, like driving around
Paris.
And then
they were like, "Okay, your homework after the trip to France is to write a report about your trip to France." You're like, "I've already done it. All right, I'll just call the police station. They'll send you a copy. I've already written my report.
Yeah, yeah."
My experience in France. Exactly. 2 pages.
Exactly.
Oh, man,
yeah, that's my little Paris story. I've got loads of Paris stories though. I've been to Paris so many times.
Obviously, the French police, we know the Paris police especially are fucking racist as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember my cousin picked me up from Gare du Nord, and we were just he was driving me to his place, and he's really middle class. He's got a decent car, and we're just driving. But the police just saw two Arabs driving a car, and they pulled
us
over.
Rashid
picked me up.
Yeah.
The doctor, the one that you referenced when Theme was talking about having his finger, his bum hole fingered. he's our doctor cousin. They pulled us over and they were like, "Come on, we know you've got drugs on you. What have you got?" And we're like, no, we got nothing. Go, "Come on, empty your pockets." We're like, "We've got nothing." They're like, "All right, we're going to have to pat you down then, I guess." And they patted us down. We didn't have anything. And then they're like, "All right, well, we're going to have to search your car." And then they searched the car. They didn't see anything. "Okay, I guess I'm going to have to search your luggage." And they opened up my luggage and got everything out of my luggage that, you know, because I was
staying. They knew you had something.
I guess I'll search your luggage. And then they were so angry that they didn't find anything. They were fucking furious. He's like, "Okay." And he put on rubber gloves. He goes, "All right, I guess we're doing this then."
Wow.
And I'm like, "What? You want me to magic drugs for you or something?" And he stuck his hand down the back of my, in my pants. And we're like, in the front, he fondled me. And then he went round the back and like stuck his, he didn't go inside like you, Theme. I'm sorry, I haven't been
He went in the crack.
But he went in the crack and was like feeling everywhere he could without going inside, without getting reported for rape. You know, he just like was adamant that we would definitely have something, and he violated us and left us and then it was like, "All right, okay, bye then, you fucking arsehole." He's like, "Fuck you, bye." And he went
crazy,
and we're standing there in the middle of the road with my luggage emptied onto the road.
It's insane.
And I was a kid, man. I was a kid.
Were you saying I'm English?
Gap year. And I was speaking to him in English. I wasn't even an adult yet. I was a kid. And he left us in the street with my luggage strewn on the floor. And I'm standing there looking at Rashid. And Rashid is like, "Welcome to Paris."
Now, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of how the laws about, especially about marijuana, but the drug laws in general, but definitely about marijuana, are steeped in racism, man. And it's not because people of color tend to smoke more marijuana than anyone else. No, everyone fucking smokes marijuana the same. But the thing is, the likeliness of people having marijuana on them is high. And it's an excuse for the police. If it's illegal in that country, it's an excuse for them to be able to do that shit, you know, with impunity, man. And it's fucked up that they can do
marijuana doesn't even exist. Cannabis exists. Marijuana is a word in Mexican Spanish that means illegal tobacco. And because they didn't, people were losing money from, the real tobacco guys were losing money from illegal tobacco. They said, right, anyone with marijuana is going to be, that's why it became illegal. And another reason it became illegal is because there was a guy, like something to do with people making paper. And then when hemp came about, they were like, yo, this is much better. It's much stronger. You can make paper. You can make bags. You can make bricks. You can make everything out of it. And they're like,
clothing.
No, 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 no. We need to, we need to make it illegal because this particular one guy, this one company guy was like, yo, I'm going to lose all my papers. And he was, you know, obviously funding political parties and shit. But check this out. When I was, a snowboard instructor in La France, but in the northern area of La France, in Pyrenees, where it's very, very farmland, and like all the posh people go to Les Alpes, and the like the less posh
Chamonix,
people, you know,
Les Alpes.
Yeah, all of that, Les Deux Alpes, Val d'Isère, they all go there. It's mad expensive for a ski pass. The Pyrenees, completely different, like less ski lifts and blah, 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 but still very good. In France, people, in little ghetto kids in England, in London and Manchester, they have no idea about the difference in the ghetto in Paris and Marseille compared to like Peckham and Hackney. Like it is bad in Peckham and Hackney, fair enough. These places are next, completely incomparable. And I'm used to all these farm guys and da da da, and I'm trying to like show off to my mates and learn French and be a cool snowboarder and smoke weed. And my friend had an older brother and his mate, we were trying to show off to them. And in this place in the Pyrenees, well, in across the whole of France, they got different police. They've got the gendarme, which is basically like a high-end traffic warden with a gun. They've got La Police, which is sounds like the ones that took Talal. They've got La CRS, and they've got like another one, like a CRS is like a riot police. Like you do not say any, you just cross the road, you know, you don't even look at them. And then there's another police, I can't even remember the name. But the gendarme, they're like the guys who like letting people off the ferry at Calais and directing the traffic, but they're police and they have a gun. But around the farm areas, you know, you just take the piss out of them. They're like complete inbreds. You're like,
do they have guns? Have
that girl, sale pute. Yeah, they have guns. Uh-huh. But they can't really do shit. And especially, I'm not talking Paris. I'm talking in the farm country. They can't do. They could never do shit, especially to an English tourist. Mm. Anyway, I met this chick. She lived in Neuve-Deux, which was like a banlieue area of next to Paris. And I'd already been doing all this banter with like the gendarmes, with my snowboard mates who were French and could like guide me and shit. This chick, Lauriane, she was just like straight Paris ghetto. And I traveled on the train to go and see her. And we come at the station and I see like the gendarme, you know, because obviously there's gendarme in Paris as well. And I'm walking down the street. I'm like, hey, gendarme, c'est femme ta gueule, nique sa mère, sale pute de mère, salope, tu vois. And she's going,
how dare you?
No. And I, because I just assumed it was gendarme, yeah? And this guy turns around and they're getting out of a van. And then all I can see is CRS, le CRS, like something riot squad or something like that, yeah? And it's a completely, it's the same police. It's like, in England, we just have the Met, you know what I mean? Or the Yorkshire police.
That's London, you have the Met, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. This is like, there's across the France, there's four different types of police, minimum four different. And there's the CRS, you don't talk to them at all. Like, it doesn't matter if you're like the poshest guy from fucking London, doesn't matter.
They're basically like the army, basically.
Yeah, but they're much worse. The army has a lot more rules and shit. Like, so I'm shouting at this gendarme, or who I think is a gendarme. And he turns, I'm looking at him, and he turns round to like tell his brethren to come and have a word with me. And it says CRS on his back. And I'm thinking, oh shit, it usually says gendarme, like gendarmerie, it says on their back. This guy says CRS. And he shouts something. These guys get out of a van, and I'm with like my brand new girlfriend. I've been like with her for like 4 days. And the geezer runs at me like with the riot shield and just knocks me out in the middle of the street. But completely KO, like it knocked me out. And then I wake up, I'm in a van, and I'm going to the prison in like a really, really bad area of France, in Neuve-Deux, which I didn't even know much about until later. But I was like, yeah, you know, it's France. If everyone in France is a pussy, that doesn't matter. And so I'm still like chucking it when I get to the police, because when I get to the police station, like just the main
still chucking it
stuff,
after getting knocked out. You're gendarme. Still chucking it.
But now they're definitely gendarme, because I'm like, ah, fuck you, no, 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 no. I'm English. You let me out. I got nothing on me. Like, I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, 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 ferme ta gueule. And he just puts me in this cell. And in this cell, there's six dudes, and they're proper French ghetto. Yeah. And I don't speak I speak like base at the time, like very like, I'll have a baguette, un bon fromage, like literally no French. Yeah. And I'm a skinny, skinny little ass kid. And I go in there, and this like Moroccan France guy, he's trying to like be friends with me. And the other guys are trying to tell me, don't be friends with him. Like he's like a lunatic. Yeah,
he's a nutter.
He might violate, like violation is like rape. Yeah, and I'm like, whoa, wow. What the fuck? I knew that because we'd had jokes about it and shit. So I'm like thinking, shit, are these guys ganging up to like rape me, or are they saying this guy, if I chat to him, he's gonna rape me? But we're all in a small cell. You know what I mean? They kept me in there for 2 nights, bruv. Yeah, 2 fucking nights.
Oh shit!
On the second day. And I'm saying, yo, can I have a phone call? Can I have a phone call? They're like, no, 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 no. There's none of that shit here, bro.
Wow.
And you're talking about the guy with the scars on his face and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like that. These guys are from, you know, Neuf-Dun.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah. Holy shit. And then this Moroccan guy, this is no word of a lie.
Oh, shit.
He like, I have hashish. I have hashish. And I'm like, I can understand his French. I'm like, he's saying he has... I have hashish. And I'm like, okay, he's got hashish. Okay, he's got hashish. He's like, you got to help me. You got to help me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm trying to ignore him, and I'm trying to like move to the other side of the cell, but he like comes over and he's like in my ear, you got to help me. You got to help me in French. Oh, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know what this is about. This dude had like a long slither, like Moroccan pollen hash, like up his ass in cellophane. Yeah. And yeah. He wants me. He's like, he's going to bend over and pull his kegs down. And he's been he's been trying to shit for 2 days, but just on the floor. There's no like, he was not going to the cars. And I'm just like, why is this guy squatting and shit? But I'm like, mad prank.
Of course.
So I'm like, not obviously saying to him, why are you squatting? Like, why are you trying to have a shit? Like, right.
No, yeah.
And he's obviously picked on me because I'm the skinny little white kid. And he's like, yo, you've got to pull the hashish, like take the hashish out of my ass, because he's so frustrated he couldn't finish shitting.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, get into the stage, or I'm actually like considering it, because like everyone wants to smoke this hashish. This massive black geezer from Senegal. He's got those Rizzlers. You know those Rizzlers with like a Rasta man on it? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Zigzags. He's got zigzags.
Zigzags. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I have this. I have
zigzag-er.
This. Zigzagger. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not going to fucking get the hashish out of this dude's ass, yeah? And they're kind of getting like a bit like towering over me and shit. I'm thinking, oh my God. Yeah? The geezer is starting to take his trousers off, yeah? And just at that moment, Lauriane's dad, my girlfriend's dad, he go bang, 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 bang on the bars. Literally bars. And I look like this. Because we're not in prison. We're like in a police jail cell. So there's like a hallway outside the bars.
Like a holding cell.
Yeah, yeah. Bang, bang, bang. And he's from Lebanon. Yeah. And he can speak like some pretty harsh French.
Yeah.
And they all like kind of back off. And I just got out of the cell just at that fucking moment. And I'm like, and I still didn't know what was going on. And then Lohan's dad said, they were going to force you to take the hashish out of the man's art. And that's how I knew the story, because he'd been there listening to everything. And he said, they were going to force you to put your finger inside and help bring the hashish and the cellophane out of this guy's ass. And I was like, no, they fucking weren't. No, I had this big lump sticking out of my head and shit like that. And from then on, like, I never fucked with. And then when you start watching the films and La Haine and all these things, you see
the
different
police,
La CRS and Booba, like this rappers, they say, Je vois de CRS mort, like I want to see the CRS dead. And you like start realizing, like, oh shit.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's fucking. And in this place in Neuf-Dun where my friend lived, yeah, the police wouldn't come. You know, like White City Estate or Hackney Estate and all these estates, they're huge, but there's many, many entrances. Like you can enter from the north, the south, the west. White City, man. They've put bollards up and shit now, but you can enter and exit from anywhere.
Yeah.
In the banlieue in Neuve d'Eau, this place, particular, I can't remember the actual name of the place. It began with a V, I think. But they would just have kids on the roof, yeah, just smoking hashish, just chilling, just chilling, just chilling. So they could do anything they want, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One time, we were all chilling in the, just chilling, smoking weed, blah, blah, blah. And the kids saying, la police, la police, la police. So like the medium level police, like the horrible police that did Talal. They're coming because they can see them from far away because there's only one entrance in, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the entrance in is the same as the exit out, yeah. So the cars coming in like that, they have to turn round, or you live there, you have a parking space. But if you're just coming in, you have to try and make a 3-point turn to get out, you know, and that's fine if you've got no beef. These police came in, bruv, they were dropping bricks. We're talking like 7, 8, 9 floors of ghetto estate.
Yeah.
Throwing bricks down, blah, blah, blah. They completely fucked up the car. The police are trying to turn around 3-point turn because they have to try and go out the same way they came in. But everybody knows that. So it's so easy for them to stop the old Bill from getting back out. Yeah. This one police got out of the car and I'm thinking, shit, man, he's going to get like, if he gets a rock in his head like from this high, because we're on the roof smoking, he's going to die. Yeah. And on the other side, a woman got out and I'm thinking, oh, shit, she's in trouble here, man. Like, shit. There now, there's like 30 kids around the car. Some of them like 8 years old. Some of them like 23. You know what I mean? Like, just the complete people who live there, and they completely fucked up the car, burst the tires with knives, smashed the roof. So the roof had dented down, and the police had to get out and just run. Like, just run. Yeah, yeah. And when you run out of the banlieue, it's not like you're in the fucking Champs-Élysées. You're like in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Everyone
starts legging it to the top because they know where they're going to have to come around these paths. They run to the other side of the building and then again start dashing all the rocks and shit. Like, man, it was, man. I was like, yo, that's insane. This is fucked.
And you think about like the knock-on effect of like, you know, the like, it's basically the racist people, and not all the police are racist, but the racist motherfuckers in the police, they cause so much havoc and trauma to these kids and these people living in these estates that when they do, you know, they react to police like that. You know what I'm saying?
Police in France are white.
Yeah.
There's like the 90% white. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And France has... because of Le Pen and Marie Le Pen, his daughter, all of those shit, France is massively racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't come in as a Turkey or as a Moroccan or and completely adapt to France and like forget you're old, then you'll always be outcast. Yeah. So it's fucking different level.
It's
men.
So they're gonna generate that reaction from people, man. You know what I'm saying? And yes, fucked up, man.
And there's a lot of, you know, your mum came here and you were born here, so you're actually French, but you look Algerian, or you look Moroccan, then you'll never be classed as French. You walk down the street, you talk, go into a normal restaurant or a normal bar or a normal something, you could speak with a completely French accent. This was back in the day. This was like in the 90s. But you're just completely never classed as French. And then there was that whole thing where Zinedine Zidane, one of the best football players to ever live, he was actually Algerian roots. And they were saying, like, people like our grandparents' age, you know, when they were all still alive, you know, back like 20, 30 years ago, they were saying, no, none of these cunts are French. And it was like a big thing, like it was a accepted thing. That no one from Senegal or Algeria or Morocco or Cameroon, none of them are French. Doesn't matter if you were born here. So it really, really, really made like a massive rift. And it's not like, oh, black dudes have a hard time here. It's so many different dudes. All the Arabs, all the Gypsies, all the Turks, all the Senegalese, all of them.
Yeah.
So it's like they group together massively. It's fucked.
And the thing is, in France, because of the country where it's positioned on the Mediterranean, you cross the Mediterranean, you're straight into Africa, Algeria, Morocco. Mm. It's an easy crossover to get into that part. And now here in England with Brexit and all these things, people complain about immigration and migrants and all this stuff. France, man, they take a whole load of immigrants, and to be honest, in a good way they do, but then
they take three times more
than England. Of course. Yeah, 85% of people, if you're fleeing Syria or Afghanistan, 85% of people settle in the first country. No. Yeah. The first country next to them.
So they might
settle in Iraq the 85. This is what these English cunts need to understand, yeah? Then the people that go to Spain and France and Germany,
three times
as many they accept that get to England. So when you've got these people coming on a fucking boat.
Swarms, infestation.
I hate 85%
of them have stayed in the country next to them, and France took three times as many.
Yeah. And still in England, think about that. Yeah, like you say, still in England, people go, why are they coming here? Why didn't they stay in France? Why didn't they stay in Turkey? Why didn't they stay in... It's like, yo, we got to spread the love, man. You know, we're part of the reason why they're fleeing half of these fucking places. Yeah.
But do you know why they come here? You guys, I'm not saying you don't know, but most of the people who choose to get to Calais and then come here...
Yeah.
They've
already got connections here.
Akey was at the Calais camp, like just helping out as a charity. These dudes want to chat to me, Akey, play a bit of football, whatever. He went over to them. They're like, yeah, all right, bruv, what are you saying? And he's like, what the fuck? Like, complete London accent. They're like, yeah, bruv, we were running a kebab shop in London until they booted us out, bruv. We've been here for London for 25 years, bruv. We went to school in London. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is nuts. A lot of
the Afghani and Afghanistan migrants coming over here, they worked and were situated in British army camps in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And
they worked with a lot of British people. And so they have British lives.
Yeah, they operated for the British army. They operated on operations for
no,
the
man.
British. They were employed.
English people are so selfish and so fucking gross.
We're not saying all of them are like this, but a lot of them are. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about just.
I'm saying all the people who talk about the boats and the dinghies. They are like that. All of them.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say. I think I just forgot it, even though I don't swear.
And the inverse of what you were saying about France. Is that it's so easy to get to France on the Mediterranean. Well, that's why France dominated all of the north half of Africa for centuries.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Like they have no right to complain about so many people looking different to them or whatever, because they were in Africa all up in their business, dominating and owning Africa and saying, you're French. From now on, this is France and you're French.
Yeah,
and they're like,
exactly.
This is Senegal, motherfucker. No, it's not Senegal. This is France.
Yeah.
And then the Senegalese come to France and then they go, you're not French.
Yeah.
The Republic of France. You spent
200 years telling me I was French and now I can't come here.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
It is so selfish. It's so fucking disgusting and hypocritical.
Britain are just as guilty
about that.
The borders, who made, is that what you're going to talk about, Theme? The borders?
No, go on. You talk about that in a sec, but so as we know, France and Germany and Spain take three times as many as England, yeah?
Yeah.
And so, of course, people want to come to England. Do you know why? Because a lot of these countries, the second language is English. The second language isn't fucking German. It isn't fucking Spanish. And it certainly isn't fucking French. They've also got relatives who live in England. They've got connections in England. So the easier thing for me, if I was coming from Afghanistan and we've got no idea of Spanish language, but we've been working for the British Army and we've learned a bit of English, because English is a massive language around the world. Okay, it might be a second language, but we've got a lot more chance of buying some fucking bread and soup in Asda than we do in La Coquefort. You know what I mean? It's fucking pisses.
Theme, let me bring this even more closer to home. Me and Talal's cousin, Dima, lives in Hamburg in Germany right now. She tried coming into England and they didn't allow her. She has family here. She speaks fluent English. She studied in America. She just happened to be living in Syria at the time when the civil war kicked off, and she couldn't get a job. She couldn't get a fucking house. She couldn't get nothing. So she had to flee Syria. And she came over on a fucking rubber dinghy twice before they got turned back.
Her
and then
first
she had
one
to pay.
Sank.
Her oh, first man. One sank, and then eventually, is a well-educated woman, you know what I'm saying, who came over, she made it over to Lesbos, made her way through Europe into Germany. Thankfully, in Germany, they took her up, but she tried to make her way to England because she has family here. She speaks English.
Exactly.
All these things, and they didn't fucking let it happen, man. And so now she's still
now
in
she,
Germany.
And she speaks fluent German now.
She had to learn. Yeah, she. Well, he's half German, but still, yeah, she had to learn German.
He's not. He was born in Germany, but his family are Libyan, I think.
Yeah,
integrated.
And we have cousins who were refugees in Turkey for years, and they were stuck in Turkey. Yeah. We got another cousin in Germany.
Exactly. And so when all that shit was kicking off before Brexit, all this stuff, when all these immigrants and that disturbing picture of that kid who died on the beach of Lesbos, we all know, we've all seen that image. When that all was kicking off, and people like Farage and fucking Boris Johnson saying, oh, swarms of immigrants and all these fucking, you know, talking about these people as if they're fucking insects, as if they're fucking animals. Yeah. I'm like, that's my cousin you're talking about, man. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. It really was fucked up. But listen, party people, peace, party people. And remember, if you leave a comment under this video, you could be in the runnings to win an Arms House to Your Mum's House t-shirt, okay? So do it and leave a like, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, man. Leave us a 5-star review. It takes 5 seconds to do it, motherfucker. If you're listening on Spotify, do whatever it happens on Spotify. I don't know. I don't use Spotify, but leave a like or whatever it
follow
does
it.
In there.
Yeah,
follow it, all that stuff. And,
we didn't even talk about me losing my job. We got so much shit to talk about.
Next time, brother, man. Next time. Yeah. Big up, Steemos. Salute, up. People. Should we do a Talal ending without Talal? Talal's been cut off now. I don't know what the fuck happened to Talal.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Talal. He's offline,
can we go,
man.
Can we go theme? Let's just do it without him.
Arms house to your mum's house.